Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 400, stanzas 1 through 4. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. O my soul, Jehovah praise. I will sing the glorious praises of my God through all my days. 1 through 4 of Psalter 400.
The portion of God's Word that we wish to read together this morning, you can find recorded in the second book of Kings and are of the fifth chapter. 2 Kings chapter 5, but first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. The second book of Kings, thereof chapter 5, the first 19 verses. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid, that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sent unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, Wash, and be thou clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdens of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaned on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we have heard in these moments of one who did come in his great need. But Lord, thou knowest also our need in this morning hour. And thou knowest that we are so ignorant thereof by nature, so that we come to this thy holy house of prayer out of good form and out of good custom, but we do not understand. O Lord, that thou may instruct us in this hour, as we so necessarily need to be instructed, that our hearts may be given that life within, that may receive the knowledge of thee, who and what thou art, and the knowledge of ourselves over against thee, our Maker, our Creator, to whom that we must also give an account on that great day of days as our judge. And we have heard out of thy holy law, thy holy commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. O thou knowest, Lord, what it is in the heart and the life of each and every one of us. And because every God that is in this world, that is living in our hearts by nature, and we would have it to be no different in our life, no than our heart chooses of itself, so freely and so certainly for the way of the world and for the way of the service of the prince of this world, then we have no desire that it should become different in our life. And we have an outward prayer that is in contradiction to what is living within our hearts. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, whose power that is an almighty power, that is greater than the power of death and of the grave. Thou who hast raised thy Son, thy only begotten Son, out of death and the grave, as the first fruits of the resurrection of thy church, oh, that thou may give also in this day the resurrection of the dead, that we may receive all together that new life, because else we shall work out our own destruction. Oh, that there may come in this very hour, in this very day, longings and desires that we have never known in our life. Oh, that our hearts might begin to long for the true and for the living God, whom to know is life eternal. Oh, that thou may give to each and every one in this hour the unction of thy Holy Spirit, that we may receive from above the gift of true saving faith, that we may learn to believe that thou art God and that we have sinned against thee. Oh, that our hand may go into our own bosom in this hour and be taken out so very white and leprous. Oh, that we may be given to see that we have forsaken thee and our father Adam, and that that arrow of conviction may be given to strike into our hard and sinful hearts. Oh, then there is a way that is open and that is so free. Then there is a way that is made by thee and must be revealed in the heart of a sinner. Oh, Lord, that thou wouldst do so also in this day, to open unto such ones as are not able to save themselves a little of that blessed mystery of the gospel. Oh, that thou may open unto them what thou hast done in and through thy only begotten Son. Oh, that he may appear even in this hour as one that is so altogether lovely. Oh, that is so precious and so suitable also for my own case. Lord, then it needs to be opened unto us, else it is all darkness. Oh, that thou may thyself then appear amongst us in this hour, that we would not be left over to ourselves and to our own choices, which is always against thee and against thy way of salvation. Thou dost give that even in our midst, in our congregations, that truth may still be proclaimed even in these very days by all thy truly sent servants. Oh, then we may commemorate it in these days, how that thou hast thyself brought us back that thou hast preserved thy truth among us and amongst our children, so that we do not have to go ignorant over this world. Oh, then it is also a truth for which we will have one day to give such an account. Oh, that we may be given to realize this day that we are not as those of the world, that we are not as those that are not privileged with that truth, and that we have much more to give an account of on that great day of days. Wilt thou give us then in our hearts to acknowledge thee not only, but also to seek from thee, that it may be sanctified and blessed unto our hearts in a personal way, and that we would not go lost with the truth in our minds, but that thou wouldst look upon us in thy mercy. Remember all those that bring thy word, that truth of the great Reformation. Oh, that thou may bless that truth over the length and breadth of the whole world. For thou wilt give that they will come from the east and from the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. And then there was a testimony also even in the Old Testament times thereof, even as we have heard it read out of thy holy word in this hour. Oh, that thou may bring them even then in the days in which we live. But wilt thou also not forget the beloved for the Father's sake? Oh, that thou may also open their eyes to that precious way that thou hast opened, and that they may be given that thou wouldst take away the veil that is over them, and for thou art able to graft them in again. Lord, that thou may so remember us all together in this day over the length and breadth of the whole world. Wilt thou be with all those that bring thy word and give opening, give liberty, give the unction of thy spirit in speaking, but also in hearing. Remember those that are not able to gather with us. Thou knowest their places and the reason, the cause thereof. Oh, thou art able to be unto them a little sanctuary in the places that thou hast driven them this day. Whether they listen by church telephone or are not able, wilt thou look upon them when they have become old. Those in our own nursing home, thou knowest where that they are. Oh, grant them also a blessing this day. Her that may commemorate a birthday also there this day, that thou may remember her in thy mercy, and that thou would grant her that blessing that she also does desire within, but is not able to give unto herself. For thou knowest all that lives also in her heart. Lord, that thou may so remember us together, be with the afflicted and the sick, young or old. Remember her that has given birth to a child in the week that is gone by. Wilt thou humble the parents together? Wilt thou give them what is necessary in the bringing up of their children? Wilt thou strengthen mother and child alike? And wilt thou give unto them a blessing out of thy heavenly store, that it may be a child that will be born to be born again, that it may grace their house with the fear of thy name, even could it be in the days of his very youth, that they may be given to see and to acknowledge that there is there what the Lord has given in the heart of that child. Oh Lord, remember all of our children and our youth. It is thy holy day. By nature, then we have no desire to come unto this place. Then we are looking for the end of the service and for the end of the day. Oh, Lord, thou art able to make it different in this hour. Oh, we beseech thee also then for them in the days of their youth. Wilt thou look upon us also? Give us a little strength in this hour that we may be able to bring thy word, and that thou thyself may show thyself to be in the midst of us, forgiving all that is amiss and sinful in thy holy sight. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 261, stanzas 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy a triumph to his cause have brought. We make the following announcement due to having a guest speaker who hopes to present a topic about mission work being done in China. Our next youth group meeting is scheduled for this coming Friday at 7:30 p.m. in the Picture Butte Church. Psalter 261, stanzas 1 and 2, and the last collection today is for the land purchase repayment. beloved congregation, tomorrow, if all is well, then we do commemorate the great day of Reformation in the world. And there is also a commemoration that is of what they do call Halloween. And we think that it is not necessary that we warn you concerning this. I think not you either, children. Right then, your heart that has no desire, we hope, to have anything to do with such a wickedness. The day of Reformation. What is Reformation? That is to reform. That means that then something that is formed once again, something that is formed anew. And what is the purpose? What is the reason that is necessary? Well, that is when something that has lost its form, sometimes in such a way that it is not possible that we even recognize the form of it anymore. We read about Jeremiah, that he went down to the potter's house, and that vessel that the potter was making that was marred in his hands. And we read that that potter had to remake it. That is, that he had to reform it. We read about Josiah in the Old Testament, and that there was in his days by himself begun a great reformation. Why was that necessary? Because the children of Israel had departed so far from the ways of the Lord that they were hardly recognizable anymore as a people. So that Josiah, he did put away the idols out of the land. We read, children, that he did burn the bones of the idolaters, priests upon the altar in Bethel. That he did put away the witches and all the abominations out of the land, and that he has restored again into commemoration the Passover of the Lord. October 31st, that always brings us into remembrance once again of that great Reformation. That was the day, our children know it also, that Martin Luther did nail in 1517 the 95 theses to the church door of Wittenberg. And why was that necessary? Well, because the church that had departed, and that was not a departure merely in an outward way, but it was a departure that had to do with the very doctrine of the church, so that that doctrine itself was hardly recognizable anymore. How did that ballad of Tetzel, as soon as the coin in the coffer rings, the soul from purgatory springs, how did this song in any way resemble the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his apostles? Can we find any resemblance to the word of God by Isaiah already in the Old Testament, when he said, when he declared, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye Buy and eat, yea, come, and buy wine and milk without money and without price? Had Tetzel's song any resemblance to the words of Christ himself? When he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest? Had they any resemblance to the declaration of the Apostle Paul when he said, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus? How far then that church by the 1500s had departed from that truth that was brought by the Lord Jesus Christ and by his disciples. And that was a departure from the very heart of the gospel. That was a departure from the very essence of the covenant of grace. But that was nothing new, because we can read that already in the Bible in the time that the Lord Jesus was upon the earth. Because there we read of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees that had to be condemned by the Lord Jesus himself. And when he said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye suffer not a man to go in unto the kingdom of heaven. For ye go not in yourselves, and neither do ye suffer others that would to enter in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but ye omit the weightier matters of the law, and that is justice and mercy and faith. And why is this? Why is it that time and again that we find that the church that is departing from this doctrine of God's word? Well, that is because this very error that is living within the heart of each and every one of us, and this with the Lord's help, we wish to consider in this hour out of the history of Naaman as was read to you and which we find in 2 Kings 5. And we wish with the Lord's help to consider in a special way in the 13th verse, 2 Kings 5 verse 13, and his servants came near and spake unto him, and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? So far the words of our text, which speaks of the entreaty of Naaman's servants, first, willingness to do great works acknowledged. You read that in the first part of their entreaty, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Thus, willingness to do great works acknowledged. Second, humility to receive freely entreated. How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Thus, the entreaty of Naaman's servants, willingness to do great works acknowledged, and second, humility to receive freely entreated. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? To whom, congregation, is this entreaty spoken? It is spoken to a man who was who was able to do great things. Because this is not just the common, the ordinary man which we find in this world. But this is, we read, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. Thus, he is a great man in the kingdom of Syria, and he has many means, you can be sure, at his disposal. Thus, that is a man who has the ability to do great things. However, the ability or the willingness, they are not the same thing. They are distinct, the one from the other. And we read here that this is a man that had not only the ability to do great things, but it is also a man who was willing to do great things. That was the testimony of those who were very close to him. That was a testimony of his own very servants. Indeed, he was doing a great thing. Because he was standing before the prophet of the enemy of his people, against whom that he had himself led all the host of the king of Syria. Thus, that is indeed a very great thing. What makes this man willing to do great things? Well, this man is sick. That is not a sickness whereof he expects that after a little rest, after a little sleep, that he hopes soon to be better again. No, this is a very serious sickness. This man, he is mortally sick. This man, he is deathly sick. Why? Because we read that this man is a leper. Deathly sicknesses make us willing to do very great things. That is, that we may have our health restored. Satan himself, he says, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. There is a saying, when a man is young, that he will spend his health to gain his wealth. But when a man is old, or when he is sick also, then he will spend his wealth in order to gain his health. And there is, congregation, much truth in this saying. We do not know what we are carrying around with us. And so we go on carelessly over this world, with the assumption that because we are feeling well this day, then we will be feeling well also tomorrow. But as soon that as a man learns that he is seriously sick, then his life changes. Then his goal changes. Then his purpose changes. And then everything that he is doing in his life that is all pointed to that one goal, even as Naaman, that his life may be extended. And he becomes, even as Naaman, willing, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do great things, wouldest thou not have done it? And so a man goes in his sickness to the ends of the earth, only that he may receive once again his life, as it were, from the dead. To go to the enemy for a cure. That is not our first choice. Thus, you can be sure that this is not the first thing that Naaman has done. No, then we can be sure that Naaman is actually here at his wit's end. The options for a leper, they were not so many. He is soon running the well dry. And though Naaman is a mighty man of valor, and though Naaman has many means at his disposal because of his position, yet it remains also true of Naaman that Naaman, he must come to his wit's end. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How high has the Lord not created us? Really, as the captain of the host of the Lord, and how deeply have we not fallen, so that we have become so inwardly corrupt with sin, ignorantly, carelessly, we, you and I, we walk over this world. That is, from the day of our conception, Christ, he says, that the evil that is not coming from without to defile us, but that corruption that is living within our heart, so that we go ignorantly over this world without that true realization that we are lost, and that we are working out our own eternal condemnation. But the moment that the Spirit of the Lord does awaken a man, a boy or a girl, then his whole life changes. Then his goals change. Then his purposes change. Then he is seeking only that his life that may be given to him from the dead. Then it is a person who becomes as Naaman. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? And then there is a testimony in the heart that says, oh yes, oh what is there now that I can do? Young people, then if it is required that you leave your former friends, then you will do it. Then if it is required that you will forsake those places where you were wont to haunt, where you were always going, then indeed you will do it. And why it is for your life, or you are willing to leave off in your life so many things that you were not willing to leave off before. Then that place in the house of the Lord where your seat is, then it is a place that will be seen by many, that is never empty anymore. Then you will have also a secret place that will be in your house, that will be in your car maybe, or wherever that may be. Oh, there you will take up books. There you will be found upon your knees. There you will be praying. You will be seeking the Lord with all your heart. Luther, what was he not willing to do? Oh, he was willing to make pilgrimage to Rome and to climb those steps of Pilate on his bare knees. But what does it profit a man? What is now the experience? What was Luther's experience? In every confession in which he did make unto his confessor in this world, with every deed that he attempted to do, well, then he had to experience that it did not bring him one step closer to that God and that his soul had come to love, that it could not take away the smallest part of that great gulf of separation that he experienced between God and his soul. That is now the experience of the church. What is the experience? Incurable. It is an incurable disease. And you would say, if a man, if he only knew beforehand how incurable that it was, you would say, well, then he would never set out to do all these labors. But why does he set out? Because he doesn't believe it. Because he doesn't believe that it is incurable. You say, we can read it in the Word of God. Paul says, dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. It is one thing to read it. It is one thing to hear it. But it is another thing to experience it. It is another thing to live it out. And we will not believe it until we have experienced it for ourselves. Dead. But there is more. Why is there more? Well, to whom is this entreaty spoken? It is spoken to a man congregation who is angry. It is spoken to a man who is wroth. What do we read? We read that he turned away in a rage. What is it? It is a rejection. A rejection of what? Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh will come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. That is the message that has come from the prophet of the Lord. Wash and be clean. So simple. Without any ritual, without any fanfare. Then he must go down into that Jordan. A congregation, against this there is a great rage. And why such a rage? Well, listen to him. He says, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Or why is he in such a rage? Well, he knows a better way. He knows a way that is not so humiliating. Because he despises that river of Jordan. He despises the waters of Israel. And he knows for himself that those grand rivers in the land of Syria, and that they are rivers that are honored by his own people. Oh, what a picture we have of fallen man. And not only a fallen man, but what a picture we have of a man who is even under the instruction of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Why, what do we read here? Concerning the misery of a man, we read not only of his inability, but congregation, a man is not so willing. He is not so willing. They picture it so different, young people, in our days. It is supposedly Christianity, but it is in need of a great reformation. It is a picture of a man whose heart is not defiled. It is a picture of a man who does not have an evil disposition in his heart. It is a picture of a man who, if you can only convince him somewhat in his mind, oh, then you can bring him unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But it is not true. There is not only deadness. There is not only inability. But we read here there is something much more. We read here that there is also enmity. And there is that enmity that is living in the heart, in that evil disposition of man because of his fallen nature, that is living in his heart against what? Well, it is against that free grace of God. Christ, he says, ye will not come unto me that ye might have life. And that is the truth. Even when a man, he has heard of that name of Christ, his whole life long, even when a man is in his great need, even when a man he is sitting in the midst of his misery, even when a man, by the grace of God, he desires to be delivered out of that misery, still we read that carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The way of grace, the way of grace that is a greatly humiliating way to man, the way of grace is a way of great self-denial. That is not a way a man will go if he is only convinced in his mind. No, his very nature that is opposed to that way, and therefore that man, he must be broken down. That is the only way. Are you broken down? That takes congregation sometimes. The Lord is free, but that takes sometimes many, many years. How was that for Naaman? Was he broken down? Well, where is he? He's not in his own land. He's standing there at the door of the prophet of the Lord. Say, is that not enough? It's not enough. Because he is not yet brought to the end. How do we know it? Because he is wroth. Because he will go no further, as it were. He has come far enough. And he will not now go so far. Thus he turns away in a rage, enmity. But the leprosy remains. That is the experience of that people. They remain in their misery. They remain with their guilt. They remain with their corruption. The Lord does not just give in. Is there rest then? No. Is there peace? No. No, the Lord, he is still working. And he is preparing them. He is preparing them to receive his salvation, not in their way, but in his way. Let us sing 415, Psalter 4. Psalter 415, stanza 4. Good and upright is Jehovah in his dealings evermore. Sinners are by him instructed in the way untrod before. And what follows in the fourth verse of Psalter 415. The entreaty of Naaman's servants, first, willingness to do great works acknowledged, my father. If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? Second, humility to receive freely entreated. How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. See how tenderly that Naaman's servants approach him. He must have been a good master, because it is evident that those servants, they love him. They have no desire in his death. Is it not the same also concerning the Lord with his people? Because he has loved them. He has loved them from that never begun eternity. And it is also unto a never ending eternity that love will continue. And so he also has no desire in their death. And so he does send unto them his servants, and that they may lovingly beseech them, and that they may lovingly entreat them, and that they may set before them a way that is now so different than that natural heart does choose. And Naaman had heard it indeed. He heard it, but he has rejected it. And how many times is that now not taking place in the life of that seeking people? Oh, they do not know the way. But congregation, they have no ears to hear of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why not? Because they are still so busy doing great things. And why? Because they still do not believe that they are utterly, utterly unable. They do not see their own unwillingness. Oh, there is so much of a lack of understanding that understanding that needs to be enlightened in the life of the people. But the heart also that has to be made willing. And there comes a different time in the life of Naaman. And there will come a different time also in the life of each and every one of that true people of the Lord. My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. What do those servants do? They do not disparage him. They do not condemn him, because he is seeking to do everything that he can that his life would be extended in this world. Oh no. No, they understand it. They say that is a praiseworthy thing. But they say then, oh my father, how much rather, how much more, they say even more so than to do all those great things, ought you not to hear the word of the servant of this prophet? You are now willing to do great things. Would you not be willing also to do just a little thing? Ah, really? What is it? It is really no thing. It is really nothing at all. What saith he to thee but to wash and be clean? Oh, why, my father, why wouldst thou now do great things? Is it because then you may go back unto Syria, that you may maintain your honor as captain of the host of the king of Syria? Is it that in that quest to maintain your life and to be the conqueror of your disease, that your wisdom and that your strength may come in the foreground to all that hear of your cure? Oh, will you not, my father, relinquish that now? Will you not relinquish all this in this vital moment, that it may be for the very saving of your life? Will you not now choose life over death? Or will you continue to choose death over life, because you are ashamed to go back unto that kingdom of Assyria, and that they would hear all that you, oh, that captain of the great host of the king of Assyria, have done in that land of Israel? That there you have foregone all your own efforts, that there you have admitted, that you have confessed before all the people, that you are without strength, that your wisdom that is not as the wisdom of God? Will you come back to that land ashamed because that you have dipped yourself? Or will you not rather forego everything that is now standing in your way? Because what has it now profited you to this moment? Every effort that you have put forth, look at you, my father. You are yet white as snow. You are yet a leprous man. What is now your hope? What is now your expectation? And then you will go away in this vital moment. When you will go away from here, is it not for you now a hopeless case? Do you not return into your own land, into Syria, only to die? What did evangelist say to Christian when he was found there under that quaking, burning Mount Sinai? Fearing that mountain was going to fall on his head. Then he did not disparage him. He did not condemn him for his seeking, no. But he says, why are you at this place? Why are you here? Is this the place that I have sent you? You can only but die here. Why? Because by the works of the law, no man shall be justified in his sight. That is the wrong way. That is the way wherein you can only perish. Oh, God's children, they do not need only to be told the way, but they need to be taught the way. They need to be shown the way. They need to be led in the way. And the Lord, congregation, he is so tender in it indeed to chastise that people, yes. But then he is taking them by the hand, and he is leading them into fat pastures, and he is leading them, bringing them down beside those still waters. And in that great need, he is revealing to them a new way. He is revealing to them a living way. He is revealing to them a way of grace, revealing to them a way of mercy, a way in which all the work that is accomplished forever, oh, that is that way. He says of it, why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Oh, it is true. The Apostle Paul, he says, where is boasting, then it is excluded. By what law? By the law of faith. That is not easy. That is the warfare. It is the warfare with the flesh of a man. It is the warfare with that disposition, the natural disposition of his own heart. And therefore, there is a certain progression in it also. Oh, there is a time that people, they would do anything. They are glad if they can do something. And really, they would do everything. Would you do everything too? How is it living in your heart, children? Oh, are you jealous of the Lord's people? Are you also afraid yourself to die and to stand before the judgment seat of God? Or do you also say in your young heart, oh, then I am going to keep myself. That is good. That is good. But you know that there comes a time in the life of God's children that they find out that they are not able to do anything, and that with everything that they are doing, that they are not able to take away that separation. And now if the Lord, he opens up the smallest portion of that way of free and sovereign grace, as is testified from the beginning to the end of that word of God, oh, then there is a people. There is a people when they may see him that they may be so glad that they also do not have to do anything. That everything that has been done for that people already, but ask that people, if now that old covenant of works, if that is now finished in their life, and then they will tell you different. Oh, there is, how is it with that people? There is a certain progression in it because we do not lose ourself. And it is first all me. Then if the Lord opens our eyes, maybe step by step, then it can become for a person, me and Christ. And if the Lord brings us further on that way, then it becomes Christ and me. But congregation, in the end, then it has to become Christ alone. Paul, he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. John the Baptist, he says, he must increase and I must decrease. Christ, he says to his disciples, he reminds them, he says, abide in me. Because outside of him, then that branch that is not able to live, but so many times that branch is trying to live all on its own. What do we read of Naaman? We read, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Then went he down. What a moment. Oh, that was the moment that his heart that was won over to that way. And it is in that moment that he may agree in order that he may in this way receive life from the dead. Thus a people made willing in the day of the Lord's power, in the day wherein he opens and where he shows unto them that new and that living way, that way of mercy, that way of grace, that way of pardon, full and free. The eyes the Lord enlightens, that they may see in that moment a great contrast. That is that contrast we read in our text. Father, my Father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean, and then the heart that is open to it, in all its wretchedness, in all its misery, in its end, in the futility of all of its own labors, the heart made willing to forsake everything, the heart made willing to go down, the heart made willing, and in that moment casting itself on the free mercy and on the free grace of God, saying with Esther, if I perish, I perish indeed. So drawn, congregation, that in that moment, that heart is not able to do otherwise. And this is a people that are not disappointed. They cannot be disappointed. It is impossible. Christ, he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And that is now the experience. And his flesh came again unto him like unto the flesh of a little child. And in whatever way and measure that may be experienced in the life of a person, then it is experienced all the same, all out of free, all out of sovereign grace. O congregation, that 16th century Reformation, that was not just about side issues. No, that was about the heart of the matter. And that heart of the matter, that is actually the matter of the heart. What a wonder that truth may be preserved for us even unto this day. Do you value this, young people? And not only young people, no, all of us, do we value this? But not only do we value this, but did we ever experience this truth within our own heart? Where does it begin? Leprosy. Do not skip over it. Oh, do not skip over that leprosy. Because that leprosy of the heart that needs to be experienced, it needs to be known in the life of a person. But now, congregation, are there those who are not able to cure that leprosy? What do you think of this? When those servants, they just said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? What do you think of this? What answer does your heart give to this question in these moments? Before the Lord, Does your heart say yes? Does your heart, does it say, Lord, thou knowest? Oh, to do great things, that I may receive that inestimable blessing. Do you say, O Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest where that they are. Also here, in these moments, in thy house, who would do all and who can do nothing. O Lord, wilt thou open their eyes as thou alone art able to open them, and wilt thou send them home with thy blessing. Wash and be clean. Then thou wilt receive all the honor and all the glory. Give it unto the children. Give it unto the parents. Give it unto the grandparents. Lord, forgive all of our many, many sins. Wash us and cleanse us in that free and that all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Oh, how precious art thou! How beautiful art thou! That we may see thee in all thy beauty, white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Bless so thy word. Be with us in the rest of this day. Remember him who hopes to bring thy word this afternoon hour. Stand thou on his right and on his left, and we may acknowledge thee for thy help in this morning hour. Strengthen us also, and we hope to bring thy word in this afternoon in Calgary. Be with us in mercy, forgiving all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 362, stanzas 2 and 3. I wait for God the Lord and on his word. My hope relies. My soul still waits and looks unto the Lord till light arise. And what follows in 2 and 3 of 362. go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless.